Okay, Hare Krishna. Good morning, everybody. So this is from the Madhya Lila, Volume 6, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is a very wonderful story. It's called The Lord Attempts to Go to Vrindavan. Just leading up to this, Lord Chaitanya, he had taken sannyas and he'd been staying in Jagannath Puri. And the devotees loved him so much that he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but they were always making tricks to keep him in Jagannath Puri so he couldn't go to Vrindavan. So, here, I'll read you a little bit here. Okay, I'll just start from this point here. So it says, for 4 continuous months, all the devotees remained there and enjoyed chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra with Kirtan, and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there was a group of devotees in Bengal, where Lord Chaitanya grew up, and then there's a group of devotees in Jagannath Puri, and there's a group of devotees in Vrindavan. But the way it was done is each year the devotees of Bengal would travel to Orissa and stay with Lord Chaitanya for 4 months during the Chaturmas, during this time. And so it's described here that they enjoyed having kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It says, as in the previous year, they all washed the Gundicha temple when the time for Rath Yatra arrived. So they would come before the Rath Yatra and they would help get everything ready. And the Rath Yatra cart, it goes from the big Jagannath Puri temple, and it travels down the main road, and then it goes to what's called the Gundicha Marjana. And Lord Chaitanya, he would have all the devotees come together and they would clean that place spotless, because it would only be used during the 8 days of the Rath Yatra festival. So the rest of the year basically was uninhabited. You know, maybe there were some people doing things there, but Lord Chaitanya would come with all of the devotees from Bengal and Puri, and they would clean the whole temple spotless. So it was a big kind of favorite pastime they would have. They'd bring, you know, pots of water and all the cleaning supplies, and everything was provided by the king, and they would just wash the place top, bottom, you know, inside out, every room, every refrigeration area, you know, wherever, you know. So the inhabitants of Kulinagram delivered silken ropes to Lord Jagannath, and as previously, they all danced before the Lord's car. So this particular pastime was, the cart is tied with these huge ropes. And just to give you a little idea what it's like, you know, over 1 million people attend this festival every year. But we do the same festival right here in Dallas or in other cities. So our biggest Rath Yatra, and actually even bigger than Jagannath Puri, is the Rath Yatra in located in Calcutta. So we have 3 huge carts in Calcutta, and each cart has 25-ton railway brakes on it to control the, you know, like locomotive engines for trains. And then they have a system with a green flag and a red flag, and green go, red stop, right? And then they tie the ropes on. So the ropes that they use in Calcutta, and they get over 1 million people in Calcutta. They say it's a bigger crowd in Calcutta than in Jagannath Puri for the ISKCON Rath Yatra. So the ropes they tie on there are so big, they use them for when they bring these ocean liners into to tie up to, you know, the wherever they tie them up, you know, to work on them. So the ropes, you can't put your hands around them. If you put both of your hands like this, they won't touch. The ropes are something like about this big. Okay, round. And they make them, they're 150 feet long. So the tradition is that they line up pujaris hitting gongs. Like in Puri, when they bring Lord Jagannath out of the temple, they'll have like at least 100 pujaris with these big gongs. And the way they move the deity is they tie the deity with silk ropes and they rock him. These deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, they're not like our deities. They look like our deities, but the size, the Jagannath deity, they say he weighs about 3,000 pounds. And they move the deity by rocking him. So, and when they rock the deity, they kind of rock him and drag him. So when they rock the deity, the pujaris with the gongs, they hit the gongs like this. They go, gong, 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 gong. And they have this huge crown on Jagannath that moves back and forth. And the deity goes like this, to the sound, gong, 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 gong. You can hear it for like 5 miles, this sound. And then on the other side, they have all of the devotees chanting, doing kirtan. So they move Jagannath like that. And then there's these huge steps at the temple that he comes down. And they put these enormous pillows filled with cotton, what would you call them, cotton balls in there. So they move the deity, gong, 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 gong. And then they say, Jai Jagannath. And they pull him at the step. And he falls from one step to the next step onto the pillows, and then the pillows all snap. So they go, pow! And all the cotton goes up into the air like some kind of fireworks. And they move him like this, and they finally bring him up onto the cart. So then they have the huge ropes. So in Jagannath Port, I'm sorry, in Calcutta with the devotees, so when they first started doing this, Jai Pataka Maharaj, he oversees it, and he was telling me what it was like because he was on the cart. So he said that, you know, the people grab the ropes, so they put 150-foot ropes. So this temple is about 60 feet, maybe 55 feet from the front of the altar to the wall. So about 3 times the length of this room, they have these huge ropes, right? So they say that the devotees are so enthusiastic, they start screaming, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, and they grab the ropes, and they pull the ropes. And he said that the carts, like, they'll hit sometimes, like, they get everything cleared off the roads, cars, everything. It's like the original kind of monster truck festival. Because the Roth carts, you know, they have those, like, little Indian ambassadors, and they have them parked on the road sometimes. And people who don't move them, the cart is being pulled with such intensity that even sometimes the wheels of the Roth cart will just crush those cars. They'll roll right over the car and just crush it, you know? But he told me like one time they were pulling so hard, and there's a little bend in this main road in Calcutta, and the cart was about to hit a wall. So, you know, they put up the red flag, stop, stop. And so they put those 25-ton railway brakes on, but the people are so enthusiastic, they just drag the cart, even with the brakes locked. And he told me the road, that road's made with bricks. And the bricks start popping out of the road in front of the wheels. Pop, 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 pop. And they're just dragging the cart. So he told me, you know, after they stop them, you know, they got megaphones and whatever for the kirtan. They're, stop, stop. You know. So anyway, then started again. Then Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. And then they're going to hit a building. Right? There's a curve. And then the cart's going to hit this building. So they put the red flag out. Stop, you know. So they drag the cart so intensely, they snap those ropes right off the Roth cart. You know, we're talking like huge ropes. They can break those ropes. There's so much strength in the devotees pulling. And then, so he told me they had to shorten the ropes from 150 feet up to 50 feet so that they could even manage the festival. So every year, you know, the devotees from Bengal, they'll go to Puri, you know, and enjoy these pastimes. It's also kind of a tug of war. They'll put ropes on the back of the Roth cart too. I don't know if you guys have seen it. And the devotees on the back of the Roth cart are supposed to be the devotees from of Dwarka. And the devotees on the front of the cart are supposed to be the devotees of Vrindavan. So the devotees from Vrindavan are pulling Jagannath, who's Krishna, back to Vrindavan. And the devotees on the back of the cart with their ropes are the devotees of Dwarka pulling Krishna back to Dwarka, right? So it's like a tug of war, you know, they're pulling the front. No, 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 he's coming back to Dwarka, and they're pulling the cart back the other direction, and it's back and forth. It's pretty funny, too, if you read a little bit about the pastimes. Like, you know, they'll have discussions in Dwarka, like, why didn't Krishna ever go back to Vrindavan? And then there's one of, I think it's Kamsa's mother. She, after Kamsa's killed, she goes to Dwarka to live. So, you know, it's all a big family, right? But Kamsa was like the bad boy, right? And then, you know, and then there's the good boys and all of that. So she said, oh, my God, why would Krishna ever want to go back to Vrindavan? You know, they didn't even give him shoes to wear. And why would Krishna ever go back to Vrindavan? Oh, my God, that, as a little kid, they didn't even feed him. He'd have to go to the neighbor's house and steal butter. He was so hungry. You know, and they make, and you know, they, so they, it's really, I mean, 50% of the joke's true in the sense that, like, you know, when she's saying that, like, she means it, you know? But everybody knows it's just a joke. Anyway, so, yeah, the Jagannath Rath, so they'd come every year, get everything ready. So these silken ropes, you know, in this particular pastime, there's some, the devotees from Kulina Gram, and Lord Chaitanya saw the ropes were broken during the festival, so he asked these devotees to bring silken ropes, to look at the ropes that were already made by the devotees there in Puri, but make better ropes. So every year that was their service, making these ropes. So it says here, the inhabitants of Kulina Gram delivered the silken ropes to Lord Jagannath, and as previously, they all danced before the Lord's car. Yeah, it's described that some of these kirtans would go on for days, you know. There was one devotee, Vakeshwara Pandit, they said it was like he had two wings. And Lord Chaitanya said that when he would dance, well, like, for example, Lord Nityananda, they said his dancing was so ecstatic. He's given a name. I can't remember what the name is, but it means one who jumps like a deer. Because Lord Nityananda could jump so high in kirtan that he would jump over the heads of the other devotees. I was at a big festival with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and a bunch of senior devotees in Malaysia, and some of the Malaysian youth, about 20-year-olds, they would do these human hurdles, which kind of reminded me of that, where there would be two devotees holding hands facing each other, so there would be like four hurdles. So there would be two devotees kind of like what I'm doing, kneeling like this, holding each other's hands, and then there would be two with a little bit higher, and then there would be one with the two devotees facing each other standing up. And then during the kirtan would be so fired up. There was this sannyasi from Australia. His name's Ramai Maharaj. He was a professional musician, but he would do these kirtans. They'd start at like 8 at night and go to like 1:30 in the morning. And he'd have like all this professional equipment, like professional lighting and strobe lights and really, really far out stuff. But the devotees would, during the kirtan was so ecstatic. And then they would run and they'd jump over the hurdle, dive over the hurdle onto their hands, flip off onto their feet, flip over the next one, next one, next one, next one, like four hurdles like that. Cross through the middle of the kirtan. And then they do these huge human change. They call it Naga Sankirtan, where everybody holds each other's shoulders. And you'd have like 500 to 1,000 people doing this huge, like, snake, you know, with the kirtan, and everybody's dancing. It's really nice. So it's described here, after that dancing, after dancing a great deal, they all went to a nearby garden and took rest beside a lake. So Jagannath Puri, it's described to have particular gardens all around through the city that the devotees built that resemble the gardens in Vrindavan. So, and Dwarka itself is like that. When Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods, he created Dwarka in the ocean, right? So he created this like ocean fortress. But he also created a garden. It's called Nava Vrindavan. And it exactly resembles Vrindavan. And it has Govardhan Hill. It's got the Jamuna River. It's got everything that's in Vrindavan. But the only thing he couldn't recreate was the residents of Vrindavan. So there's just statues. There's statues of Nanda Maharaj. There's statues of Mother Yashoda. There's statues of all the residents. So whenever Krishna is feeling homesick, he can go to Nava Vrindavan while he's in Dwarka and remember the pastimes, his pastimes in Vrindavan. So Jagannath Puri was built like that. The devotees of Jagannath Puri built all these particular gardens which resemble the gardens of Vrindavan. So it says, one Brahmin named Krishnadas, who was a resident of Radha Desh and a servant of Lord Nityananda's, was a very fortunate person. It was Krishnadas who filled a great water pot and poured it over the Lord while he was taking his bath. The Lord was greatly satisfied with this. So, you know, in India, you see this all the time, but women will bathe with their saris, men will bathe with gamshas, right? So it's kind of public, like, you know, they'll be bathing. Well, of course, there's a little area for women, area for men. But you'll see, like, they'll get buckets of water, or they'll just dip into the water itself, you know, and bathe, and then they come out, and then there's a whole way where, say, a woman has two saris, or a man has a couple dhotis, right? So they'll wash one dhoti, And then they snap it, the water out of it, and then they lay it across the top of the tall grass. So the tall grass, you know, it's probably 16 inches high. And they'll take a sari or a dhoti and they spread it out across the top of the grass. And the sun is so strong in the middle of the day that it'll dry in like 15 minutes between the breeze of the river and the sun. So people will go to the river, they bring their clean clothes, first they'll wash the clothing, they put it out on the, or even sometimes they just have one set of clothing and a gumsha. The guys do. So one dhoti. So then they'll wash the dhoti, they'll put it out on the grass, they'll go and bathe with their gumsha, and by the time they come out of the river, the clothing's already dry and clean. Very natural and simple way to, you know, take care of one's clothing. You don't need a Kenmore washer and dryer. But, yeah, so these devotees, you know, they were bathing, and then so one devotee took a bucket of a pot of water, right, and personally bathed Lord Chaitanya, right? And it says Lord Chaitanya really liked that. So the Advaita Acharya then extended an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there was a great rainstorm connected with this incident. So you guys know about the great rainstorm pastime? That's unique, right? Yeah, great rainstorm pastime. I heard it once, I can barely remember. Let's see if it says anything here. It says, all these episodes have been elaborately described in Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So that pastime, the rainstorm pastime, is in the book called Chaitanya Bhagavat, which you can get from Krishna culture for about $10. But there are three principal books. The three most important books on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are, the first most important is this one, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It gives you the most detail. It's based on the diaries of Sarup Damodar Goswami, who was the personal servant and ecstatic devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Then the second most important is the Chaitanya Bhagavat, written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is considered to be Srila Veda Vyas, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, appearing in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So he wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then the third most important is called the Bhakti Ratnakar. It's written by Narhari Shakar. And it's all about Lord Chaitanya's devotees. There's two basic groups of authors in the Vedic tradition. One group writes about the Lord, and another group writes about the devotees. Because some people, they like hearing about the devotees. They relate to the devotees so much that they prefer hearing about the devotees even than hearing. Of course, the devotees are connected to the Lord. You can't hear about the devotees without hearing about the Lord. But the focus is on the devotees. So there's so much love between them. It says here that, Chaitanya, this is a purport. It says, oh, okay, then one day Srivas Thakur extended an invitation to the Lord. So the Lord's favorite vegetables were cooked by Malini Devi, the wife of Srivas Thakur. She devotedly considered herself a maidservant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, but in affection, she was just like a mother. So there's very intimate pastimes with Malini Devi and Lord Nityananda. But just to kind of summarize, the devotees were all trying to get the Lord to come to their home, and they would cook. And they would do all these tricks to get him, you know, and to convince everyone else to let them cook for Lord Chaitanya. Like, for example, you know, the Lord would say, well, I'm a sannyasi, you know, I want to eat very simply, just serve me boiled vegetables. You know, and they would all say, oh yes, yes, you know, we'll make something very simple, you know, for you. And then they would come to their house and there'd be enough prasadam for like 300 men. There'd be like, you know, 50 or 150 dishes, you know. Actually, Lord Nityananda, he said that he wouldn't go to anyone's house unless they cooked for at least 300 men. Lord Nityananda really enjoyed taking prasadam with all the devotees, so he was like that, you know. But Lord Chaitanya would sit down. And it was one really interesting pastime where all the devotees from Bengal would cook, and they'd bring everything to Jagannath Puri, and there especially were a few devotees that were very famous as excellent cooks, and they would make all this type of medicinal Ayurvedic food for Lord Chaitanya for his health. You know, there were some of the ladies that were very motherly to Lord Chaitanya. Think, oh my God, if he doesn't have this digestive aid, if he doesn't have this in his diet, if he don't have that, how will he be healthy? And they would pack up But all the devotees would do this. So they would bring like special dishes. So Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's personal servant, he would store all of this in a room, you know? And then the devotees would come and say, did Lord Chaitanya eat the preparation that I cook? And he would have to lie to them. Because Lord Chaitanya hadn't eaten any of that. You know, Lord Chaitanya would eat very simply as a sannyasi, unless, you know, some particular occasion arose. So finally, Govinda, he felt so bad by lying to everyone that Lord Chaitanya had eaten everything and he had liked it, and it was actually all stored in this room for a whole year. So finally, Lord Chaitanya, he tells Govinda, what are you so worried about? Why do you think, you know, that I'm so ordinary and you have to lie and I'm cheating and we're cheating the devotees? He said, bring everything here right now. So he brought all this prasadam, and there's hundreds of preparations, you know, in these clay pots and things. It was like a year old, you know, stuff would be right bad by then, right? But everything was pristine and fresh, just like the very moment it was finished cooking. And they brought it, and Lord Chaitanya, not only did he taste each preparation, but he ate the entire pot, enough prasadam for like thousands of people to eat. So now we're getting up close to Govardhan Puja, you see, all the devotees would make offerings to Govardhan Hill. And Lord Krishna, he took this form, right, of Giri Govardhan, and he said, Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more. And it's described how all of the devotees from all the surrounding areas of Govardhan Hill, all the villages, would bring everything they had. Huge, you know, hundreds of carts of grains, and they would make mountains of japatis and all this subject, and Giriraj would eat everything. And then he'd say, Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more. Like that. Until finally, Giriraj had eaten everything. There wasn't a single bite to eat left. And he was still saying, give me more, give me more. And the devotees didn't know what to do. It's a very beautiful pastime. So I'll leave that suspense for you guys so you can hear that story. And now you'll be wondering, what did they do? They ran out of prasadam. How did they satisfy Giriraj? He was asking for more. So yeah, a similar thing was happening with Lord Chaitanya. Everybody was competing to get him to his house. So of course, all the famous devotees were the ones getting him first, you know, Advaita Acharya and all of them. And then it's described that there weren't enough days in the month for all the devotees to bring Lord Chaitanya to their house. So some of the devotees would team up, like 3, 4, 5 devotees, families would get together, and then they would all cook together and have him come to their home, you know, to one place, and they would all take care of him like that. So this was a really special exchange with the Lord. It says at the end of the 4th month of Chaturmash, so that's like at the end of this month, October, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again consulted with Lord Nityananda daily in a solitude place. No one could understand what their consultation was about. Right, sometimes you see devotees, they'll come in the temple, right, and they'll be looking at you and looking around, and they'll be whispering to each other. You'll be wondering, oh my God, what are they talking about? So, yeah, Lord Chaitanya was doing that with Lord Nityananda. So all the devotees were wondering, oh my God, what are they talking about? Why aren't they telling us what's going on? What's happened? So it said, seeing the face of Advaita Acharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. Understanding that the Lord had accepted the proposal, Advaita Acharya started to dance. No one knew what Advaita Acharya requested or what the Lord ordered. After embracing the Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Lord Nityananda, please hear me, O holy man. I now request something of you. Kindly grant me this request. Do not come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, you can perform a task that even I cannot do, but for you, I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there. Lord Nityananda replied, O Lord, you are my life, and I am your body. There's no difference between the body and life itself, but life is more important than the body. By your inconceivable energy, you can do whatever you like, and whatever you make me do, I do without restriction. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Lord Nityananda and bade him farewell, and then bade farewell to all the other devotees. So I'll stop here. It's a little bit about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Now we're going to have some breakfast prasadam. Thank you everybody for coming in. Sorry I was late this morning. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, hey. One quick announcement I got for you guys.
Hey, one quick announcement before everybody gets into their day is we found this great spot to do Harinam on Lower Greenville on Friday nights. There's about 3,000 people out there in all the cafes and on the street sides. And even when we were having Harinam, about five of us went out there distributing magazines, invitations, doing the Harinam. And we got some professional musician Harinam devotees too. They're really good kirtan. But I even had one restaurant manager run out in the street and told us, he said, "Oh my God, it's so nice having you guys out here playing your music." He said, "Why don't you come more often?" And I was passing out magazines. I did about 150 magazines and like 300 invitations. So many people from there come to the restaurant. We had people that come to the Darshan room. We had people that come to our festivals. I mean, it's just an amazing crowd. They are like so close with us. But Friday night from like 7 till 9 p.m., it's packed. Lower Greenville where Trader Joe's is. So if you guys are into it, just come on by like around 6:45 and we can go over there. It's really nice. Hare Krishna. It's the best place I've ever found in Dallas. I mean, it's amazing. Okay, Chakri Prabhu gets the credit because he told us about it.